Well, welcome everyone to Life with Lex. You are now doing Life with Me, where we talk about all things faith, relationships, health, and culture. And if you don't know me and my story, I'm Alexis M. Locke, graphic designer turned preacher and accountability coach. And it is my job and my joy in life to help lead women into their purpose and out of trauma. And I do that by giving you strategies to heal your mind and grow your brand over at alexismlott.com. And a little bit of my story is that in 2010, I dedicated my life to Christ after a year before being miraculously stopped from a suicide attempt by my grandmother. And I have spent the last 11 years of my life dedicated to my healing process from trauma. And y'all, on today's episode, I am doing a very, I think, just amazing episode with my very own husband, Kendarius. And he's over here waving like y'all can see him. But we are talking, we are a week out from celebrating 1 year of being married. And we are doing a commemoration episode. So we are going to title this episode, I will say, 10 lessons that we learned in our first year of marriage. So I'll do 5 lessons, he'll do 5 lessons. And so I want to let you guys know that this podcast episode is brought to you by my latest event, Teach Me How to Pray. Y'all, it was thebomb.com. If you have not purchased those replays, please go and get them. So you can go to thecherishedwoman.com/pray. And you can purchase the replays of those morning sessions for $10. Okay, so give them to your mama, your sister, your cousin, your auntie, everybody. Because those were some powerful, powerful teaching moments that we spent. And so if you've ever want to learn, how do I get rid of the shame of feeling like I'm not good enough to talk to God? How do I know my prayer language, my prayer history? And are you a person who has maybe, you know, been saved for a very long time or been a Christian for a long time? And you're like, I probably need a refresh because I feel like God is not talking to me in the same way. Those replays are for you. So go and get them. So no matter where you are on your faith journey, where you are new and you don't know anything about it, too experienced and you need a refresh, go get the replays. But without further ado, I know you guys are itching to hear this podcast episode, and I promised you guys I would stay consistent. So here I am, and I am just honored to have my husband here with me. So we're going to be talking about this marriage journey. We are fresh out of 1 year, and
not fresh out yet.
Fresh into last few weeks.
We are almost at.
Almost at.
So we're 7 days away, which would make this day 358
days of 365 of being together. So he can do math in his head, y'all, and that ain't my grace. If people be asking me to count back change, I'd be like,
Which that's really strange because you're artistic, and most artistic people are strong in like math and science because it's that side of the brain.
Yeah, no, well, yeah, I don't know what happened with me there. I really do not. Me and math are just not good friends. so I cannot do that. So, speaking of, I think that was one of the first times you heard one of my stories about like our first jobs. Because my first job, I wanted to work at Brewster's ice cream. And
we talked about it the other day.
Yeah, and I was like, my very first job was, I applied to work at Brewster's. And in the interview process, they told me that we do not have calculators here. And we do not have cash registers. And the lady was literally like, well, they had cash registers, but they didn't have cash registers with calculators on them. So long story short, you had to know how much change to give back the person who may have handed you some cash. And the people were literally at the interview teaching me how to count back change because that was one of the base requirements of getting that job. And I did not know how. And needless to say, I did not get the job at Brewster's. It's been an amazing journey that we've been on for a year. And we started kind of reflecting and looking back to where we were this time last year, getting ready for the wedding. And y'all,
you were invading my closet.
I was.
This time last year, you were invading, what was at that point, my closet.
I guess. But what did our pastor tell us to stop seeing this as your territory?
That's why I said at that point, it was my closet. It became our closet, but at that point, it was my closet, and you became an intruder.
An intruder. Okay. So anyway, his closet is still very much so a area in our marriage that we need some anointing.
Lesson number one, my closet. I'm
playing. Yes, but personal space is a thing. Mm-hmm. I moved into Kenaris' apartment that he shares with his roommate. His roommate is still here, and everybody really thought that we were crazy for having a roommate starting our first year of marriage. They were like, that's not a good idea, but let me tell you something. Life is expensive, and bills. So everybody had their opinion, but I think we did just fine. I don't think we've ever had any terrible moments. Like, it's been cool. Like, we're all very calm.
Everybody minds their business and...
Yeah. And gives each other their own personal space. The apartment is big enough for everyone to have their own personal space. So that was one of the big things I think we can say. Number one, we learned very early on how to keep people's opinions about what they thought of decisions that we were making at bay. Mm-hmm. Because not every married couple's journey is the next as someone else's. I think that was super important for us to learn. It's like, okay, whose opinion matters? Because everyone has something mm-hmm. to say about everything. Not just, you know, moving in with a roommate, but people are going to give you advice whether you solicit it or not.
Very much so.
Yeah. And that's been one of the biggest things I think I had to learn very quickly is, I think the marital process, from choosing bridesmaids to us getting down the aisle and getting to the honeymoon was all about me. For me, it revealed a lot of my people pleasing tendencies, or the fight to try to make everyone happy mm-hmm. and recognizing like how
it's impossible to do.
It's impossible. Like, someone is going to be upset with you. And it revealed to me like how much I carried with me this goal or this need to at least make sure that everyone was happy with me. And then when I realized, man, I can't physically carry this many people. Like,
just so y'all know, we got married in the pandemic. And
which was terrible.
We had a Rona wedding. But in our Rona wedding, we also had a large bridal party. Like, we had a bridal party of about 26 people.
Right.
9 guys, 9 girls on each side, and including the kids, it was up to like 26. Mm-hmm. And so you literally have 9 bridesmaids and maids of honors who all have their way in on things as we're going through the process. Right. And you also, well, the boys are really chill per usual, and I thank them for that. But also, guys, we weren't just dealing with 2 moms in the mix. With 4.
We had 4.
4 moms in the mix.
So our background is, I have, of course, my biological mother. I have my stepmother. I have my biological father and my stepmother. And then I have my biological mother and my stepfather. So I have 2 separate sides of the family. And
I have, of course, my biological parents, mom and dad. And then I also have a set of godparents who are literally godsends in my life.
Right.
Literally, I mean godsends. But mm-hmm. So we weren't just working with 1-2 moms. Like, we were working with 4.
4.
Who had to be, 3 of them really were very included on pretty much every decision. Of course, my godmom, she came in to help and be present when she could. Mm-hmm. But of course, there were 3 moms who had to be considered, like, at a food tasting. But at a food tasting, we only had 2 moms. But those may have been 2 of the most opinionated moms we had.
Child, the ghetto.
And so there were a lot of opinions, and there was a lot to be said. But what you learn is, even when you're working with, like, for instance, the parents, this parent's story is not like this parent's.
Correct.
And so their advice is totally different from their advice. They say do this, they say do this, and it's 2 totally different opinions, and you learn very quickly that you have to do what's best for your marriage.
Yeah.
And I think that's probably lesson number 2, is that you have to do what's best for your marriage. Because everybody has an opinion. Everybody has something to say. But your marriage being in a healthy place is what matters the most.
That's true. For me, the lesson was so deep that like God had to literally give me a prophetic dream, because that's how he literally speaks to me. And legitimately, like, kid you not, I had a dream that I got married and no one was at my wedding. When I say no one, I literally mean there was not a single soul there except for my husband and my pastor. And it was beautiful. I felt a sense of peace. I felt a sense of calm. But it literally was no one there. And that message communicated to me very early on in our process that, like, who mattered? And you really have to really get clear about who matters. And our pastor has been, I said, this is lesson number three, get godly counsel as quick as you can.
Absolutely. Which huge shout out to our pastor.
Yeah.
The Dr. Michael Grant. Doom, yeah. Doom,
doom, doom. Is that theme music?
Yeah. That's his theme music. He'll be like, there's what? But no, guys, for real, huge shout out to our pastor, because he literally walked us through the process of becoming one and becoming whole. And there was really no stone he left unturned, I feel like.
Yeah. He did not hold back.
Yeah.
No subject.
But it was so necessary.
Yeah.
Even, like I said, we got married in the pandemic. Mm-hmm. I think we got to a place in wanting to be married, but also still not honestly feeling fully prepared.
Right.
And we literally had an argument in front of our pastor in his office at the church. Like, it was an actual
argument.
And he literally walked us through the argument, and we left it feeling, I think, and we left it in a better place than what we went in.
Yeah.
So, and that honestly could have been a place that we called off the whole wedding.
Yeah.
And just ended everything at that moment. The 3 years we had put into the relationship,
right,
everything, and just said, you know what? I'm good. But because we had godly counsel, we made a better decision.
That is very true. So, yeah, get godly counsel ASAP.
ASAP, Rocky.
I mean, even in our dating process, we included him in our decision making. Mm-hmm. And we also had friends that were kind of, you know, our incubators to help us steer along.
We have our incubators and we have our accountability couple.
Right.
Which were two different things, but they were both very necessary parts of our journey.
That is true. So I would just say to anyone that's really like, I think it's strange, always question when your friends pop up with people that they're dating and no one in the circle and no one who they consider sources of wisdom understands who this person is. My sisters had heard about KD even in friendship, you know, so there were people who understood the people that I was around, and we haven't really told our story at all. So we can pause. You're so cute. We can pause. Y'all, I am Kendarius's literal terrorist. Like, I am his terrorist. I sure am. I am his biggest fan and his terrorist. So, like, our story was very God-driven, I think, from the beginning. But I think at a point, our pastor had to tell us, because sometimes I think in Christian circles, you get so enamored with having a story and having this moment where, like, God just puts you together and he makes it plain why y'all are together. And I don't want to put a seed of doubt in your mind. God absolutely blew my mind with KD. And I think the same goes for him. Like, how our story happened and the impact that we had on each other's lives was very much so very evident. God is with them. However, I think that when you get so caught up in trying to have a godly relationship, you can often miss the practical reasons why y'all are together too.
And it's not
everything
so much,
is not spiritual.
And it's not just so much you get caught up in having a godly relationship as much as you get caught up in the space of what a lot of millennial Christian couples is, it's the seeking notoriety.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the, I want our story to be big and our story to be something that is, us getting married becomes a thing for the kingdom.
It becomes a brand that you build.
Yeah, our marriage is a thing for the kingdom at large. You know, he's bringing together these two powerhouses and we're going to get to do exploits and change the world for the kingdom. And our pastor very quickly brought us back to the space to say, whoa, at the end of the day,
right,
you are not marrying Alexis the preacher. Mm-hmm. You were not marrying Kendarius, the worship leader.
Right.
You were marrying Kendarius, the man.
The man.
And you were marrying Alexis, the woman.
Right.
And what you see them do in church may not even carry over into your house. Like, I don't walk around the house, like, leading worship. I mean, no, there will be days where I will absolutely lay out and worship in the living room and do what I do. But it ain't like I'm like, come on, babe, lift your hands. Let's give God a, like, that doesn't
and
happen.
And you know,
in
a lot of women want that, though. Like, now I will tell y'all, for seriously, Kendarius does cover me. But I was called before I met him. Mm-hmm. And I will be called should the Lord take him home and I still stay here. He will be called should the Lord take me home and he still stay here.
Girl, I'm just saying, I'm getting raptured.
You getting raptured,
I'm
Katie?
Baby, I'm finna be like, we knocking got to go. Like, I just. I don't plan
on lingering.
I don't plan on, you know, dealing with the box and the ground situation. I don't plan on it.
Canary said he's getting raptured. Your body
out of here.
Okay, anyway. So, y'all, I do think that a lot of women, if I could literally, like, take my liberty here, it's like, you really got to break up with the fairy tale.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a man, honey. Like, that is a whole man. Like, you going to come home and be mad because it's clothes all over the floor. It's toothpaste in the sink that didn't get wiped up. You know, it's...
Your people.
Right.
Like, and that's... You have to get used to... I say this, and this is not me endorsing that this is what you should do. But Alexis and I did not live together.
No.
Prior to marriage.
Right.
But I joked with my mom after we got married. I said, Mommy, I see why people do it.
Mm-hmm.
I see why people do it.
I understand.
Because... there was a lot that we were not exposed to in a dating process that we chose to honor the Lord and honor and respect one another to not live in the same household.
Mm-hmm.
That people who, as our grandparents call it, shack.
Right.
They know.
Right.
They know that there's going to be toothpaste in the sink.
Right.
They know that there are going to be clothes everywhere. You know, they know that she's going to get in these, like, cleaning frenzies and reorganize stuff and it not be where you left it at. Like, and she's going to redesign your cologne nook because she has an artistic mind and she thinks the aesthetic looks better if you put it this way.
Yes.
They know those things. But for us, we were exposed to them in one fell swoop.
Mm-hmm.
It was like overnight. It was like you didn't live here one day.
And the next day you're here.
Did.
Right. And,
and you don't
strange.
Go home.
And you don't go home. It's like, oh, I wake up to you every day? Like daily? Like we wake up to each other every single day.
And I think that can take us to lesson four, though, is be prepared to talk about everything.
Yeah, you really do. And I mean, I think that like couples who tell you communicate are not lying to you
at all.
Like you really do have to talk about everything, because when I first got to Kendarius's apartment, y'all, I vacuumed the ceiling nooks, like the crannies in the vacuum, because I saw bugs. Like, like, I kid you not. One day I was like, babe, it's stuff in the corner. And I'm looking around. I'm seeing stuff I want to dust, re-clean, because he was a straight up bachelor. But mentally, I had to prepare myself to be in his space. And he had to prepare himself to have someone in his space literally come in like the cleanup woman and wanted to rearrange all his stuff. So, and I think we're still getting used to that with each other, because literally you will look up and someone will be on the other side of the house.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that taking out the over-spiritualizing things sometimes gives you a expectation that your emotions may not be ready to deal with fully. And so you do have to communicate about everything, because at the end of the day, you are living with a human being. Like, you're living with someone who literally is, like, you have to talk about, like, how do we spend money? Or do we have the same ideals on budgets? Like, what are our thoughts?
I think one of our funniest, not a debate, but debates, and this kind of points to what you're talking about, is Alexis likes to rearrange things with her brain because she likes certain aesthetics, and so she likes for things to be reorganized. And so I have a necklace thing, and like all of my necklaces hang on it. And so our sink has one side of the sink that's larger than the other side of the sink.
Mm-hmm.
And Alexis would put this necklace thing on the smaller side of the sink. And in my brain, I'm like, it literally does not fit there. Like, it's about to fall off. And in Alexis's brain, it just looks more aesthetically pleasing to have it on that side.
Right.
But we actually had to have a conversation about it and be like, okay, this is why this is this way. This is why I'm doing this. This is why I'm doing this. And like actually talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
And because had we not, I just would have kept being irritated about the fact that my necklace caddy was on the smaller side of the scene. And she just would have been walking around la-di-da-di-da because it looked aesthetically pleasing. But it was a necessary conversation so that that wasn't something that caused a mountain in our marriage.
Right.
Or like it wasn't a bump in the road because it was a conversation that we had.
Because it was a conversation, yeah. I think that's true. And I think I would say point number five, as much as people tell you to communicate, 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 I think number five, though, is when we got to the hard things, realizing that you cannot push a person to communicate with you about something that they don't understand that's going on within themselves. And like, we recently had a very hard moment in our marriage where it kind of like dawned on me, like it clicked something that, you know, you hear women say, you hear women write all the time, but it's like, I am not his pastor. And I think there are certain times like how I earn a living every single day is I am an accountability coach. Kendarius is also very pastoral, like in his job, he works in insurance, but his job is to care for people as they do their job and to be to give them oversight. So we are very much so who we are in the marketplace as well as spiritually in the church, because that's the way it should be. But I had to come to the conclusion that like my responsibility in our marriage, do I voice and vocalize things that bother me? Of course, but making him change and trying to, here's the thing, walk him through change is not my job. And that was like one of the hardest, like smack in the face moments that I had to have to recognize that is all these areas that you think, you know, we talk about red flags and non-negotiables, and you talk about, you know, potential, don't date potential. Like there's so many things in the dating world. I feel like you need to automatically start to be honest with yourself about truthfully when you see to ask yourself, can I deal with this for the rest of my life? And then not trick yourself into thinking that when I get married, I'm gonna suddenly start asking this person about these problem areas because eventually I want them to change this stuff. No. You got to be real honest about what you can and can't tolerate up front, because the reality is, what if that person never changes? It's not your job to create change in their life. If that was the case, the Holy Spirit, God, we would have had a completely different earth if God could force a person to change based on his will. We all have the freedom to make our own decisions.
I remember when Cody and Tam got married, and y'all, Cody and Tam are who we call our incubator couple.
Yes.
Because we started
And shout out to Tam's YouTube channel, The Mompreneur. Anyway, yes. It's a plug.
Cody and Tam were who we, when we first started dating, we spent all of our time just about at their house. And it was a safe place for us. But I remember when they were getting married, and my brother Cody told me, he was talking to Tam and he was like, I'm not her Holy Spirit.
Mm.
And he was like, she is not my Holy Spirit. And that was very quickly the space, like when he said that, I remember thinking to myself like, what do you mean? Like, what are you talking about?
Right.
But then I had to realize that for marriage and like in relationships and with one another, like Alexa said, it's not my job to guide you through that step. Like, it's not my job. I am a manager, like in a career, like that's what I do,
mm-hmm.
but I don't manage Alexis.
Mm,
I don't, managing her is not my job. So you learn to be supportive. You learn to be present for your spouse to, hey, I'm still going to give you like my opinions and my way in,
mm-hmm.
because we're doing life together and what impacts you impacts me. But you also learn to accept that at the end of the day, what you choose to do with what I'm giving you is yours.
Correct.
It's not mine to say you're not using this how I feel like you should use it. No, what you choose to do with the info that I give you is yours.
That's true. And I think that is where you have to decide, What is really love?
Mm-hmm.
I think we're on point number six.
No, I think we're on five.
It is five.
Wait, where are we?
I think.
Okay.
We talked about.
Well, number one was.
Making your decisions like not people pleasing. Mm-hmm. Number two, your marriage is your marriage, yeah. which is kind of like the same thing as number
three
one.
Was godly covering.
Number three was godly covering. Number four was communicate. Number five is what I just talked about. You are not his pastor.
Yeah, so we are on number six.
So, we're not each other's host. So, number six, y'all, we just free flowing. We don't have anything written down.
Clearly, we're not keeping
clearly. But number six, and what was I going to say number six was?
I don't really know.
You don't really know? Tell me.
But I will say, for me, yes. number six would be realizing that you're taking care of yourself is still a necessity as you're growing in your marriage.
Yes.
Like, self-care is still necessary.
Yeah.
Even when, like, you are in the married phase. Like, newlywed phase, we're just getting started. But there is still a need for Kendarius to take care of Kendarius.
Yeah.
Even though I have Alexis here who will help cook food, which she does very well, who will be my spouse, be supportive of me, there is still a need for Kendarius to make sure that Kendarius is in the best place possible.
Mm-hmm.
And make sure that I'm taking care of myself as well. So self-care does not go out the window
simply just because you get married. Right. And I think that brings me back to like point number, when we talked about communication, number five, it's like a person cannot be honest with you about where they are unless they are first honest with themselves.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the beauty of having a spouse who is filled with Holy Spirit is to know that while you are not my source of counsel, the beauty and the benefit of a godly relationship is that Kendarius has never judged anything that I have gone through.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that that has been one of the most beautiful grace that he has given me. So, but you have to ask yourself, though, do you have the temperament to deal with the fact that someone, you can't, like, you can give a person space not to judge what they're going through, but at the same time, be honest enough to admit to them, but what you are choosing is hurting me.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that is where you have to ask yourself a true question. Did you marry someone that actually, or are you with someone that actually loves you? And that was the hardest thing for me, I think, to understand. It's like, just because a person loves you does not mean that they have groomed the right kind of honesty within themselves to see that this is an issue. Do they love themselves enough? And that is where self-care comes in. It is, Alexa still goes to therapy consistently, like for my soul. When I take notes and listen to stuff our pastor talked about, I've learned don't run it through the, oh, my husband need to change this, or don't run it through the marriage filter. Girl, let that word hit you first before you start talking about what somebody else close to you needs to do. I think that is a form of self-care, is emotional honesty. And emotional honesty happens first, then communication can happen. Because people, you know, we have to give each other grace even in our communication styles. Because at one point, our marriage flipped. Like, when hard things happened to me, I would immediately want to talk about it and deal with it. Then when I got into therapy, I realized that part of you that wants to hurry up and talk about something is like rushing through. Like, you need time to process. Kendarius came in our marriage being like the processor, the thinker. You're going to have to give me a few days. And then it flipped for KD. He is now more, I said, he is better at being like, okay, this is what it is. This is how I feel. And we ain't finna go to bed mad at each other. So our process flipped to now me saying, I need a few days. And him saying, can we just hurry up and deal with it? So I think that you have to give each other something. Our pastor told us, he said, man, as soon as you get used to a rhythm in your relationship, that that person changes. And I think that's point number seven. Like, that is really
be flexible.
The truth is to be flexible, because, and I know it seems like we're talking like we've been married forever, but we have been dating since 2018.
Mm-hmm.
And before that, we have been in each other's lives since 2015. So there were a lot of things that the beauty of friendship provided for us where we were not caught off guard by a lot of each other's ways.
Mm-hmm.
Like, how he dealt with things didn't catch me off guard. Now, I will say that during the dating process and during the random weird friendship phase that we went through, Kendarius was not very open with himself emotionally, and I had to learn, though, that's just who he was as a person, not to take that personally. And man, in marriage, gosh, you cannot take everything personally. Mm-mm. Or you gonna end up divorced. Mm-mm. You truly do.
Yeah, you have to be flexible, because who Alexis is literally recently. Mm-hmm. Alexis went from a space of just solely focused on her business to now she has a part-time job. Mm-hmm. And so now Alexis has changed because she has a part-time job and she has a business. And so she's managing more. She's dealing with more. There's more on her plate. And so now she's more understanding, even for me, to what I would be like, babe, like there are certain days I go home, like I am exhausted. But Alexis changed. She made a shift recently.
Right.
And so in her recent shift, and we're only a year in.
Right.
And we've gone through a shift that like that. And I think even when we first got married, I was very much still grieving.
Yeah.
So for those who don't know, I lost my grandfather in February of 2020. My grandfather was my dad. Mm-hmm. And I lost my grandfather in February of 2020, and we got married in October of 2020. And I was very much still grieving the loss of my grandfather when we got married. Mm-hmm. And so early on in our marriage, Alexis had to be okay with, I was still processing what it was to lose him.
Right.
That there would literally be moments when I just cry. I think we came to the 1 year anniversary of his death. That morning, Alexis was like, what is wrong with you? What is happening? What's happening? And I boohoo bawled. But that was very much my reality. And she had to adjust once I came out of grief. And I'm still coming out of grief in many ways. She had to adjust that. Okay, so he's talking about his grandfather is no longer just like it's not an automatic trigger to tears.
Correct.
Like now we can laugh about things that happen and we can joke about things that happen. And that was a change.
Correct.
And so you live through changes like that. Mm-hmm. Because I think what we get caught up in when we say something like be flexible is we get caught up in the big sweeping changes that happen in your life. You know, when you go from 30 to 40.
Right.
You get caught up in those
kids
big sweeping
things. Kids and no kids. Right. Yeah.
But we miss the very small things that you have to be flexible with as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a new job. It's closing out a chapter of grief. It is how you friends and ending a friendship. All those things cause you to be different.
Yeah.
And you end up dealing with a different person a little bit because they've grown through a thing.
Yeah, that's very true. I think, and I will say that I will give advice to notice your relational patterns. I never forget one time my pastor said that, you know, how do you know when God has something in your life that's really created for your purpose? And he said, or how do you know when you're getting off track with your God-given purpose? And he was like, always watch in life when something doesn't match the journey that God has already kind of brought you down. So when Canaris and I first started dating in 2018, We started dating in January because we played games with each other back and forth all 2017. And I would say games with each other all 2017.
I won't admit to that.
He won't admit to it, but it's the truth, y'all.
I won't admit to that.
And in 2018, January 6th, so let's show you how much games we was playing. We were playing games with each other in 2017. By January 2018, the sixth day of the year, we were together. By March, our pastor died, and this is the mother of the person who we keep referring to as pastor, which is Dr. Marco Grant. So his mom passed the baton spiritually over to him to shepherd the church, and he's done a phenomenal job, but she passed away in 2018. And then like a month after, almost to the day, we find out that his grandfather has cancer, and it's 2018. He dies in 2020. So the thing is like we got together and tragedy hit us almost immediately. Like mm-hmm. whenever we have fresh starts in our relationships or big things, something tragic normally comes like right after. And not to say that you should, you know, look for dark patterns to happen like that, but you do have to pay attention to the cycles of your relationship. Mm-hmm. And that is something that is a hallmark cycle for us to know that we're in a new season, is something great has happened, but something crazy has also happened too. And I did not know how to be a new girlfriend and then watch him lose his spiritual mentor at the same time. And it was rough, y'all. Like, I made a ton of mistakes. Like, it was really rough. But I committed to loving him through that process.
Very much so.
And now being able to watch him go through it again, you know, just really, it gives you a strength. So I will say, as a couple, I think we're probably on point number 8, 9, mm-hmm. one of them.
We're on 8.
Right. Is don't judge each other's mistakes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, being flexible is one thing, but I think you can't judge your journey as a couple and each other's mistakes, because I think that it's, you really gonna play the game right now while we in the middle of the
I promise you, I'm multitasking.
I have been diagnosed legally, not legally, but formally with ADHD. But this man here is playing a whole game while he trying to talk on this podcast. And I think his brain got more problems than mine.
And I am accomplishing. So keep it trucking.
But I do think that at a certain point, you have to realize that as a couple, you both are going to make mistakes with each other. You will both mishandle each other. You'll mishandle other people.
For sure.
You'll deal with consequences. Like, we're at the place now where we are now learning how to get back in our rhythm. Because you two drawing closer together will kind of off balance some key relationships in other parts of your life. Mm-hmm. And so we're having to learn, like, okay, how do we reincorporate back his friends, my friends, the stuff that I'm ambitious about, like the things that he's ambitious about, my parents, his parents, our families, like, the ghetto, the ghetto, like, bringing all of those elements back into our everyday monthly rhythm. People can get really offended at you for not being what they thought you were, or not giving you time to settle into your marriage. And I don't understand that. But anyway, I think as a couple, you're just gonna have to give time for the both of you to just make mistakes, and know that whenever you start something out, you are more mistake prone when you start than as you are continuing to go. And God provides a lot of grace for that, because you still, we're a year together. But I had an epiphany the other day. Like, Kendarius has spent 32 years with himself. And in April will be 33. I've spent 33 years with myself.
I was going to say, I actually have spent 31.
It's been 31 with you and 32 with me.
Yeah, it's been 31.
Y'all, he is really big on this. Don't age you, baby.
My cousin John, whose birthday is today. Happy birthday, John. My cousin John has spent 32 years.
With himself. But Kendarius is 11 months and a few days younger than me. And he swears I'm a cougar. Like, what is that?
I don't know if you're a cougar. You're maybe more like a little jaguar.
A
jaguar, you know, a little kittenish.
Yeah,
either way, by the time I came into the world, you were almost like talking. So
anyway, Canaries, hush your mouth.
Lesson nine. No, you already gave lesson 8, which was don't judge each other.
Yeah.
But lesson 9 is something that Alexis's dad told me the day before we got married, which we have tried to do in our marriage, and it's super necessary. And that is to honor time with each other.
Yeah.
To honor the time that you have designated. So for us, date nights were every Thursday. And adjustment mm-hmm. are now every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday.
And so we do our set best to every Wednesday put everything down and just have our time with one another.
Right.
And I remember talking to Alexis's dad the day before we got married. And he said, hey. He said, start honoring your time now. He said, because when kids come and all life changes and things happen, you're going to already need to have a pattern of honoring each other and not be trying to figure out how to honor that time for one another while you have like a child in the mix mm-hmm. or while you have all of these different things happening. Be already in the groove of honoring time for one another before you get to that. So I will say lesson number 9 is to honor and make time for each other, because life can.
Yeah, adulting, you can get caught up real quick.
You know, it's life happens.
Yeah.
But you have to make sure that in life happening,
you prioritize one another.
And you make each, and you have that space for one another, because you start to get distant inadvertently.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really not even like, you're not even conscious of it.
Right.
Because you're just going through the motions. So as it's happening, like, you just have to be cognizant and make the choice to be present.
Yeah, that's very true. We've done a good job at that. Even though we got into, and when I mean quality time, I really mean like we turn our cell phones, we put them face down, either off the table or in my purse or something. Like, we lock in with each other. We ask each other a lot of like quiz questions. I know it's like our thing. No, it's my thing. Let me be clear. But like, I get questions, date night questions off of like Pinterest, and friends have bought us like couples card games and things that we can talk through with one another. Like, you know, we have those moments where we are still investigating, learning, because like I said, that person, he has spent 32 years of himself, and now I look back, I've only been in his life for the latter part of 5 years or so. So, you know, there's a lot that you don't know. And I think in building a life together, you just have to have a certain level of patience to honor one another.
And in that, like, honoring each other and, like, honoring, like, time for each other. So just so y'all know, Alexis and I, and like how we work, I am more akin or easier to flow in a pattern. Because I like patterns and routine, because it helps me keep everything orderly and structured. So I am okay with like us getting into a pattern of like, this is what we do, this is how we flow, duh. Alexis, on the other hand, is more spontaneous and very free. And so she needs things to just, every now and then, she needs us not to go out for Asian on date night. She needs us to go get a steak. Which
we will need to, like, I wish we could put ownership into like stock into Asian, like, you know, your local Asian,
oh my gosh,
food. Like, your local Chinese restaurant, your local Japanese, like, Thai,
and I would love it,
Vietnamese.
We can put that on a list,
because
to buy stock in like an Asian restaurant,
because my God, in Zion, we was
put that on a list.
He was like, what you want? Some Chinese food? Some Chinese food? Some Chinese food? Chinese food?
No,
Chinese
it's not food. Always Chinese. Sometimes it's Chinese, sometimes it's Thai, sometimes it's Japanese.
I'm already Jamaican. I don't need no more rice. Like, you're going to give me Chinese. One more piece of rice and I'm going to fall apart.
Either way, what I'm saying is, what I was saying is, and that's just who we are naturally. But in honoring time for one another, that's also how you set pace and keep up with each other and the changes that are happening with one another in your marriage.
Right.
So that you don't look up 3 months down the line and be like, when did you even do that?
Mm-hmm.
And the other person is like, I have been doing this for this point, like this amount of time.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I don't even like that. But honor, like, setting time for each other and honoring that keeps you tapped into what is happening with the other person.
Yeah.
And so you don't look up and that other person has like a whole brand new thing that's happening with them and you had no clue.
That's true. You're the last one to know and you live in the house with that person.
Correct. It keeps you tapped in.
Yeah. So number 10. What do we want to say our number 10 lesson is?
What are you going to say?
I want to say what I think we should say. I don't know if you want to talk about this, but I want to talk about it. Are you looking at me?
Are you trying to talk about what I think you're trying to talk about?
Yes.
Are you trying to talk about?
Yes.
What?
But in a good way. In a healthy way.
What?
Okay, but what were you going to say?
That's not what I was going to say.
Okay, what were you going to say?
What were you? Wait, we may have to do 11 then, because I feel like...
Okay, yeah, we're going to have to do 11.
Go ahead, number 10. I'll save mine for number 11, because I think it's a good way to close. What were you going to say?
Okay, so my number 10, I will say I think that it kind of goes back to, honestly, number one, about listening to people,
mm-hmm.
and about do what works for your marriage. Is we put a lot of emphasis in our culture on like sex and what we think sex should be like. And once we get married, once we have these moments together. And I think a good thing to discuss and to just understand is, even in honoring each other's time, it's mm-hmm. also like honoring the journey that you were on as two individuals having a sex life.
Yes.
Because the expectations sometimes that you walk in with for things to just be like this knockdown, drag out, explosive type of situation that you've seen on movies since you was 3 and didn't have no business watching anyway.
Might not be what it is.
That is not that is not realistic. I think the beautiful thing about knowing that you are a couple and that this is a marathon and not a sprint, something the pastor might say all the time, is you're building exactly what the word is. You're building an intimacy life together. You're building a journey together. You're building a sex life together. So lower your expectations. Understand that sex is not everything. Because I've had moments where I was laying up in a hospital bed and Kendarius had to work, couldn't do nothing. I had moments where I literally had to just lay and let my body recover. Because, of course, as you guys know my story, I have sickle cell disease. I've had moments where I had to communicate with him like, I'm exhausted. Mm-hmm. And he would tell me, I'm exhausted. Like, it's not happening tonight. And if you walk in, I think I'm glad that I honored the 10 years that I spent celibate. I am very proud of myself for honoring. And yes, it was 10 whole years with, like, when I got saved in 2010, I made up in my mind, the next person who touches my body is my husband. Like, mm-hmm. I made that declaration, and Holy Spirit helped me keep my commitment. Was it difficult? Yes. And when I got to the point where the loneliness was really hard for me to bear, I was extremely honest with the Lord in my prayers about what I wanted. And one of the things that I truly asked for was the character of someone who could handle the fact that I did have sickle cell, and that our journey would be different from a lot of other people. Like, he had to have a grace on his life to manage the fact that I would not always be at my best. Mm-hmm. It was a very real thing for us. And so we could do a whole nother podcast on dating. Actually, we have some YouTube videos out there on my channel about our dating process, because at the time we could give nobody no marriage advice because we was fresh in.
Did you post that?
But there are a lot of videos, yeah, I haven't posted. I think I'm just take the audio off and put them on the podcast, because child, keeping up a YouTube channel is other people's dream, not mine.
Yeah, and I think with sex, like, I will say that I'm glad I waited.
Mm-hmm.
I don't regret that at all.
Well, for backstory, you got you waited. Canaris is a virgin. I'm proud of him. He was a virgin.
The way you said, and I'm proud of him.
All right. Because that's what I asked God for. Like, once I got proper teaching and understanding on the beauty of sexuality, and that because God made sex, so he's the OG. First of all, because he made it so beautiful, the safest container.
Did you just call God an OG?
He is the OG. Like, you got to be a real OG to be the creator of sex. Like, do you realize he could have created
just called him an OG?
He is the OG. Like, God is like the OG, like the original gangster.
I can't. So I'm glad I waited. Mm-hmm. And the thing about sex, which I cannot believe you did this, is, and I'll say this is something I did not expect, and this is just like a little note to add on to that, is sex is something that you have to talk about.
Yes.
I think a lot of times people make it seem like it's just going to be easy breezy, like easy breezy for beautiful cover girl, like it's just going to be,
it's just
everything's just going to work, and it's just going to be like the nicest thing. But you got to have discussions, and you got to talk.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, I liked that. Hey, yeah, I didn't like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, that was great. This wasn't so great. Hey, today I'm tired. Hey, today you have to talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
You have to have conversations. Because if you don't have conversations, you end up with one person not being satisfied.
Right.
You end up with places of disappointment. You end up with one person feeling frustrated because they are having to do something that they may have not been in the like healthiest place to do.
Right.
Because you didn't have a conversation. So I don't think I thought sex was going to be something that you had to have discussion about. I just thought it was like a thing. And it was like on The Sims, you click go and it's like, do you want a woo-ha? Yeah, let's woo-ha. Right. And that be it. But that's not the truth of it. Mm-mm. Like, it's a discussion and it's something you have to talk through.
Yeah, that is that. You got to talk about sex. You got to talk about sex while you're having sex. Like, you have to stop and have conversations.
You do.
Yes.
Are you okay? Does that, like, how does that feel? Like, you have to have those conversations. It's just necessary.
It really is.
Especially when you're, like, just getting started. Mm-hmm. At, like, we are, well, we've been at this a year, but still, you know what I mean.
Yeah.
So, number
11.
And this is the bonus at the end of this, because it's 12 o'clock. Well, it's after 12 o'clock. And Alexis got me up here making podcasts in the name. Is this rice?
Yes, that's this, y'all. But I guarantee that's your rice. Y'all, it is rice in our bed.
When do we have rice?
Canaries, you have Asian food every other day. Like, don't. Oh, my God.
I'm trying to think. Wait. Anyway. Mm-hmm. Number 11 in the bonus tip. And it honestly should have been number one. Always honor God first.
Yeah.
People say all the time that when you, it's not just two people in marriage, it's three, because you have to include the Lord, and that with Him, you know, He's what makes you one. And they say all these really cliche things, but I will say that keeping God first and foremost and honoring Him is such a necessity.
Mm-hmm.
Because if you honor God, then it's easy to honor the other person.
Absolutely.
If you honor Him, it's very easy to honor the other, because as you're honoring Him, it just becomes a natural thing of them being honored as well. So keeping God first is, I think it's the thing that has gotten us through a year.
Yeah.
Because we've had moments. Like I said, I came in grieving. Mm-hmm. A few months after we got married, Alexis lost her grandmother.
I got really sick.
You got really sick. We were in the hospital for a month.
Yeah.
Like, things happened in this year, but in things happening in this year, what we did not lose sight of was our faith in the Lord and our relationships with Him.
Right.
And it has been the thing that, even at our ugliest argument, has pulled us back to a conversation to say, no, wait a minute. And
y'all, because so, I was ready to leave. Y'all, she really showed out. Packing up my stuff.
Y'all, she really showed out.
You did too. Our pastor told us that both of us was wrong. But Alexis, I learned my conflict resolution style is if I cannot combat it head on, then I'm going to run because I don't want to deal with it because you need to get out of my face. And so that's why you stay in therapy and honor the Lord.
So just so y'all know, hilariously, Alexis and I had done really well during dating about never letting each other see, like, the ratchet. And when I say the ratchet, like, I had never met Alexis from East Columbus, and she had never met Kendarius from Decatur. Like, we had done really well. Don't get me wrong, we had had arguments, we had had debates, but we had never really gotten, like,
in each other's face.
Like, that had never happened. And lo and behold, we finally met each other. And it was like, okay, so that's what that was. And I think both of us, after having seen that side of each other, never wanted to meet those people again. And so that's why we have conversations. And when we need to, we call our pastor.
Correct. I think we should call him.
We ring his phone line. We probably owe him a tithe or like a salary check. Because
we owe that man some money.
Because when we were dating, we used to tear his office up. Like, you remember being at Black Panther and telling him we were dating?
Yeah.
And he tried to act like it wasn't a big deal.
Uh-huh.
And we were like, yeah, Pastor Mike, so we're together. And he was like, well, what y'all so excited for? And we were like,
What do you mean?
Mm-hmm. But then on our wedding day, he was standing there with the biggest grin, like a Cheshire cat. Because he felt like he had just, like, accomplished the Olympics. Because he was like, I got these fools down the aisle. I'm gonna go home and sleep now.
Right. And then, like, a few months later, calling him at 10, 11 o'clock at night because I was packing up my stuff, getting ready to go. But anyway, y'all, listen. So, this podcast episode has been absolutely amazing. If you enjoyed it, send me a direct message on Instagram. That is the quickest way to get in contact with me. And please, y'all, forgive my ADHD brain. I'm dead serious. If I see your message and it says seen at the bottom, but I don't respond to it till a few days later, please forgive me. I got a lot happening. But leave me some feedback. Let me know if this podcast episode has impacted your life in any way for the better. Give us a 5-star rating and download this podcast, okay? So this has been Alexis M. Lotz, and you are doing Life with Lex. You can find me at #TheHealedLife, and I cannot wait to talk with you soon.